You getting shy, Luis?
No. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd, the podcast where three friends, three amigos, three bambinos come together to talk about nerd shit. And look at us. We're all here together.
That's us.
Hey.
Hey. No longer distances apart. We're having ourselves a little sleepover. We're talking nerd shit.
As always.
Listen, 2023 is wrapped up, and now we're going to talk about 2023. Yes, we have a top 10, but we're not going to talk about our top 10 till in a couple more weeks. We have a lot more movies to see, but until then, we are going to talk about the biggest moments of 2023. What do you guys think about that?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
It's nice having you around here. Like, I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for your delay. It's like, am I being rude? No, you're right here.
We're on location at Ed's house.
My house here in Houston. We've been drinking all day.
Too much.
Is it too much or just enough? It's been a great boys' day.
We watched Godzilla Minus One today.
Godzilla Minus One. We had so much beer.
Sorry.
A little bit of whiskey.
Tune in a couple weeks if Godzilla Minus One will be in our top 10. But let's jump into 2023 recaps. Yeah. Guys, let's talk performances. What was like some big performances of 2023 where you're like, damn, that was pretty good?
That was it.
One of mine I just saw recently was actually Maestro.
Yes.
I saw Maestro recently, and
you're talking Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper and
Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan, who was also really in Saltburn this year.
She was indeed. We'll have to talk about that too.
We'll talk about that too. But yeah, I thought their performances were really great.
That's surprising, considering how much you hate The Aviator. Just like, I did. I'm Leonard Bernstein. They call me Lenny.
There were moments when Carey Mulligan was talking, because she's not American. She's like...
No, well, she's like American who grew up in Chile.
No, her character is.
Well, that's what I mean. It's she has like...
I'm talking about Carey Mulligan, the actor.
No, she's British, but she's...
She's British.
She's British, but like in the movie, yeah, she's like an American Chilean... actress.
There are moments when they both sang together. Do you know what I'm saying? Not like obviously singing, but like performance-wise.
Yeah.
They really like click.
There's that one scene during the Thanksgiving parade.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm thinking about.
So
that's a good performance. That's a great, Miguel, any performances you saw this year that you were like, damn.
Yeah. Good. No, it's from earlier this year. I know it's kind of a while back, but back in February, that bear did cocaine. I was like...
God damn it.
I was like, shit, this is...
That's committed method acting.
Of the year? And so early? Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty good performance. I loved that movie.
That was Ray Liotta's like last performance, I think.
Yeah, no, and the bear upstaged him hard.
Him and Liv Ray were just partying.
Yeah.
Was it like the bear?
All
like,
my life I wanted to be a gangster.
The bear was like, shut up, shut up. No, I honestly... I couldn't tell you my favorite performance of the year. I was really hoping that I wouldn't be the second one. I was hoping like a couple more opinions would come out like, oh yeah, that was good.
Well, me and Ed were talking, so I thought I'd throw it to you.
No, I appreciate that. Okay. No, that's that producer in you.
Thank you. Ed, any performances that stuck out to you?
That stand out? Yeah.
What came out this year? What were some standout movies that came out this year?
Okay, let's talk Barbie... Oppenheimer.
People were talking about Ryan Gosling for a long time. Remember when Barbie came out, they were like, whoa, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Oscar.
My biggest thing with Barbie is if it doesn't win Best Original Song for I'm Just Ken, then I don't care who does.
Quick pivot to this, sorry.
Yeah.
I talk about song. Thoughts on Peaches not being in the Oscars.
Fuck it.
Well,
no, I thought that was a gimmick from the get-off.
But do you know what? Everyone on Reddit thinks the same thing. Everybody's like, thank God, it's not in the Oscars.
Wow.
Ed here too. Me, I feel like it should have been in there.
I tell you
my mischievous self is like, how funny would it be if that song actually...
Look.
And you know what? Everybody remembered that song. That's a huge song.
When Jack Black goes, I hope the Mario sequel is a musical, you could go... I could see them doing that because that one song was so good.
Absolutely.
So,
if you know, it's one of those things like if Super Mario Brothers gets nominated for Best Animated Feature over like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm going to be mad about it.
Oh, you would feel a type of way?
And it's the same way here. Like, I just don't think
I'm going to be a great song. I'm going to be honest. The Mario movie's better than
the musical.
Mario the movie's better than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by far.
Wait, so, what'd you say? Wonka the musical?
Mario.
Oh, Mario.
But you don't believe that, actually.
Oh, I 100% do.
The movie?
Mario the movie?
It's better than Ninja Turtles?
We watched it so much more than Ninja Turtles this year in my house. it's just facts. It's just facts. My kid, will tell you.
Quality, baby.
My kid will tell you he likes the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
but we watched that Mario.
I know you
movie.
Did. I know you did.
And that wasn't me, baby.
That was a child.
Well, sure, no, of course, and I think that's what you gear towards. And maybe it's like a that kind of vibe. Maybe Lily didn't enjoy Super Mario Brothers as much as.
So it's just a household. It's just, you know what I mean? Like house by house scenario.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. This year, I feel like Sarah, my wife, her top 10 2023 is different than mine.
I want to, yeah.
And I feel like ours is going to be different too once we do that top 10.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow. I feel like out of this year, it's been such a diverse year where people are really liking different things that other people are.
And it was a good year for movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so.
Yeah.
Can we, like, especially, specifically with animation, even with Super Mario Brothers, I thought that was, like, a gorgeous-looking movie.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to explore maybe different things. Like, I wanted the Mad Max of Super Mario.
I tell you what.
You know what I mean?
I get the sense that we're going to get a lot more of those movies.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we had Nimona on Netflix.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Really? Okay, maybe I'll watch that before.
They just released Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Right.
You know, Aardman back at it. And then
Did you like that, Chicken Run, the second one?
We enjoyed it. It was fun.
More than the first, or the first
not
was better?
Not as good as the first, yeah. I would have to say. But it is fun.
Okay.
It's like up there. The Boy and the Heron, which I haven't seen, but obviously that's a big animated event.
Louise kind of hyped me up on that last week.
I did watch it, Ed.
I know. So. I want to hear your thoughts.
I mean, because we're going to have their podcast not next week, but the week after, so maybe you have time to catch The Boy and the Heron.
That is one I want to see.
But it is, yeah, I mean, what do you mean I hyped you up? I don't want to hype you up too much. It's one of those movies where I feel like you need to go and just empty-headed and just experience. Hype or no hype?
I just meant that you...
I don't want to gas you up.
Don't gas me up. No, I walked away from that conversation going like, okay, like I was kind of interested in seeing it, but then Luis said he liked, I don't actually remember if you liked or disliked it, but...
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I was like,
Are you familiar with all of...
Studio Ghibli?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, I started recounting all the Studio Ghibli movies that I saw. I was like, oh wow, I've seen a lot. Like, I've seen Spirited Away, I've seen The Howling Castle.
Yeah.
I've seen...
Have you seen My Neighbor Totoro?
That's actually the only one I haven't seen.
Okay, yeah, that's the one that Lily's really...
Okay.
Really? But I've seen the other ones, like Monaco, and then the other one...
pig one.
The Castle in the Sky. I've seen that one.
Yeah,
that one. I saw Ponyo.
Ponyo. Well, we discover apparently that's like a Disney-produced one.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, if it's Disney.
Well, it's still Miyazaki, like, directed.
Right, yeah, but no, I got corrected on that. I was Ponyo. I was like, no, that's...
Okay, well, I'm talking Miyazaki directed okay, whatever. But, I was telling him... Maybe if my conversation about Boy and Heron excited you, watch a Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah.
Before it.
Well, one thing I do want to know about The Boy and the Heron was, is it too intense for kids?
I think so.
Okay. For Lily. Because, like,
I'm thinking about Lily.
Specifically
a
five-year-old, yeah.
I think it might be too intense for her.
My Neighbor Totoro is fun. And, I mean, it... You know, dabbles in.
I thought you were about to be like, "Oh, My Neighbor Totoro says I could watch a lot of these."
I really want to watch that. I haven't seen that. I feel like
it is fun. Yeah. I like it was. Yeah, no, and a gorgeous looking film. Like it's like one of those things where every frame is a postcard. Like it's the same. Gorgeous.
With, it's
like,
the same with this one too.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. just talking about Rustin, Coleman Domingo was really good in that. The movie just didn't serve him,
right.
I feel like, or the character, or the person.
He's getting a lot of attention, Coleman Domingo.
He is, because he's in The Color Purple as well.
Oh. Well, a lot of people like... So he was in two movies. Who was in two movies? Rosamund Pike.
Yep.
And then the person in Anatomy of a Fall and Zone of Interest.
Yeah, Sandra Hüller.
Sandra Hüller was in both movies, foreign movies.
Yeah.
So we're having a lot of like repeat offenders, Miguel.
Both who...
No.
Like...
Same.
Yeah.
Sorry,
don't drift away. Pay attention to me, Miguel. Okay,
I'm reading while you talk.
But Sandra Hüller, now that we mentioned it, that like her performance in Anatomy of a Fall, we still haven't seen, or I haven't seen Zone of Interest
yet. Right,
you have.
I have seen it. Yeah,
son of a bitch. But yeah, that's I. She was incredible in Anatomy of a Fall, and that one requires like a whole lot of balance between not only, you know, multilingual performances,
yeah,
like French, English, German, but also just like that intensity and like realistically done. It never feels melodramatic.
No,
in that movie everything feels just like genuine and vulnerable, and she's incredible in it.
It's a court case drama. You know, I was in jury duty for 2 months, and as were doing the jury, like they were reviewing the case, I was like, wow, it does feel very honest. But it was also very interesting because it's in France, so it's a French court. It's a different court system. And it felt more, I don't know, in here in America, when I was at, a juror for jury duty.
Yeah.
You couldn't lead a witness. You couldn't set a narrative. You just had to ask questions.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you had to do, and that's how it was presented. Here in Anatomy of a Fall, I felt like the lawyers were really, like, shaping a narrative. They were really putting emotions into it. Yeah. They were very political about how they were selling points.
But very cut and dry, too. Yeah. Like, they cut to the core, like, this is what I think you would do.
Right.
And very,
it's almost like it's a philosophical battle happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, the judge has to kind of be almost the investigator.
Right.
And leave it up to themselves.
There are moments like in a court case, like you have a witness, they go up to the stand, and that's the one person you talk to.
Yeah.
Here, they'll have like Miguel will be talking at the stand about scientific stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk
as I would,
as you would,
I'd be like atoms.
Yeah, yeah.
And nuclei,
and then you immediately go to the victim or to the murderer and be like, "What's your response?" Half.
Yeah.
Do you know? I feel like he really earns it up to that second half of the
movie. Totally. Yeah. One that we've all seen, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, man. We're talking performances?
Yeah.
Hands down, Lily Gladstone. Lily Gladstone. Man, it's just like...
She's going to win, but like low-key... And I'm not trying to undercut Lily Gladstone, but like we can all agree that like this is like probably one of
it's Leo, a stacked Leo's year,
one of best.
Oh,
his best performances too.
I
don't know. Actually, I don't know if I'm sold completely on Leo.
No. I kind of agree with Ed. Like this is definitely one he could win for.
I don't think he's gonna win,
but could is what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying it's like even if he doesn't get nominated, which I think is
very it was possible, a really solid performance.
He should get nominated for it.
Yeah, he should. But it's just one of those performances that I think they really are pushing for Lily Gladstone, yes, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
but he was low key just like really good, and what really sells it is that final scene with him.
Okay, that's Lily. The best part
that,
of it,
that's yeah. It that's what like makes the whole thing
I like
that if it wasn't for that last
exactly
part,
it was brilliant
there, when I like
yeah go ahead
sorry I like that he's had like 5 or 6 movies in the last 10 years that he could have won or did win for the Oscar, but he still is turning out these performances that are still so engaging. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And like unique. Because you exactly. differentiate between the lot of them, from The Revenant to yeah. Don't Look Up.
Yeah, Don't Look Up is good. Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street and to this.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a vast range that, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago you just thought Leo DiCaprio can't do that much. But, like, he makes it endearing and so intense.
Yeah.
It's, and especially in Killers of the Flower Moon, like we said, that last scene. It's like a stroke of genius, yeah. almost, like how he portrays that moment.
If he didn't have that last scene, I would say I would want the guy who played the FBI director. What's Jesse Plemons?
Jesse Plemons.
I think Jesse Plemons actually would have been a great role as that character. Ernest Bernhardt. Yeah.
Oh.
Because he's supposed to be like a guy who doesn't like know good, and he's kind of dumb or whatever. I feel like Jesse Plemons delivers that like blank face that he did with
Jesse Plemons.
Was that the dog? What's that movie?
The Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog?
Yeah, Power of the Dog.
The Power of the Dog, he's kind of has this like empty-headed
man.
He could have done the same with Killers of the Flower Moon, and it would have sold it.
One of the things that we talked about, I feel like, is that Leonardo DiCaprio was kind of like sort of miscast because he's like playing this younger character, but he's obviously a little older.
Yeah.
And like Jesse Plemons' character, he calls him like son at some point. That feels weird. But if it was Jesse Plemons versus Robert De Niro, you know what I mean? Yeah. The same character, Robert De Niro, but Jesse Plemons. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Leo was supposed to be Jesse Plemons' character initially. Like when they were based solely on.
Could you imagine if Leonardo DiCaprio showed up for like 5 minutes in a movie?
The only reason I bet he didn't was because he was producing. Like he was creatively involved with Scorsese.
He was very,
and he was like, "Listen, I want to play that role."
And the perspective from the book is kind of like that white savior.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, and he did a great job. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like a little.
I think Clemens
age-wise,
that would have been more. I don't know any more interesting, but the performances would have been incredibly different.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome to see them play off of
I think Leo does this fantastic job of doing something very intensely and strongly.
Yeah.
And he does in the movie. And then Plemons gives this, like, very difficult to do absent-mindedness of, like, just being kind of clueless to what's happening, which I think to that character, I would have sold a lot of things. Leo's great. Both great. I just think it's like a fun like mind game.
You guys, I know we're talking about like performances, acting.
Yeah.
Can we talk about some movies that underperformed at the box office this year? Can I pivot for a moment?
Yeah.
That's for us. You know what I mean?
That's good.
I was looking at my list of movies that I saw, and Ed, thank you for compiling this list for me. Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We were like, oh, let's talk about our 10 movies of the year. And I saw like 12 movies. Indiana Jones is a movie that I want to talk about that kind of underperformed.
Yes.
It was one of those movies of the year that we talked about earlier that was just kind of like, people didn't quite flock to it, but it was better than I expected it to be.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I always had it lower my tier of like movies that would perform well.
Yeah.
But it did do well. And in fact, it did do better than like Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well, Mission Impossible actually did better internationally, didn't it?
Than Indiana Jones.
But kind of a movie that you expected to do big this year and kind of underperformed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Undercut. I mean, not in Indiana Jones, this wasn't the problem, but Mission Impossible, especially. Follow the week before Oppenheimer and Barbie opened.
Yeah.
It just was like no chance.
Mistimed.
After that. Yeah. Like because the drop from its opening to that following week was devastating. It made like a lot of money overseas, but it probably only saw like maybe $100 million profit after marketing, possibly, if that, you know. It lost so much money from IMAX that it was probably banking on. It had been in production since before the pandemic.
Yeah.
It constantly got pushed back, you know.
Did you hear that they're...
And there's a sequel coming.
Then they're changing the sequel to not be labeled as part two.
Really?
Oh. But yeah, they're going to like rebrand it.
So
it doesn't confuse people. And it's like, well, you're at this point
You've
now.
Already done part one.
Yeah. It does. I mean, it wraps it up kind of like the character story in it. But there's obviously without a doubt, there's like a cliffhanger to the story. The bigger theme of it is,
that's actually a movie I haven't seen yet.
Yeah,
but like that.
Oh, you didn't watch Dead Reckoning
yet? No.
Oh man, that's one that I need to see again because I did see it in theaters. I saw it at that shitty AMC downtown.
Yeah.
Hey.
But I had like a guy vaping in front of me and shit
at the AMC.
At the AMC downtown. But it was, yeah, I want to see it again. It wasn't at the level of Fallout, the precision, I mean. Like, the story was long, but the action sequences, of course, were great. But I need to see it again.
Right.
Because a whole lot of it didn't really, I had more movies make an impression on me than it did.
Well, Oppenheimer made a huge impression this year, too. I mean, I saw it again.
Talking about underperformance.
I didn't actually explain this to you. I didn't tell you this, guys.
Don't act.
Hold on. I saw it for the second time on my flight over here, and I thought this would be our top 10, so I would have more to say about Oppenheimer. But let's just say that my view of Oppenheimer has changed.
Oh.
And I would say tune into our top 10 when that comes out in a couple weeks.
Wow.
See if it makes or not. I don't know. But it did impact me. I would say out of all the rewatches that I did this year, from Asteroid City to Iron Claw to this one, Oppenheimer, or even Colors of the Flower Moon, I think this one has been the most impactful as far as like a second viewing.
Wow.
Yeah. So tune in to see where it lands. But Oppenheimer was a 3-hour movie, biopic.
Oh, another popular topic this year.
That, what's it called? Not only was it super long, it was a biopic. And biopic.
Not by Christopher Nolan standards. He would.
Okay.
He was like.
But I'm just telling you, like.
A brisk walk.
And it did really well. Like, it was like overperformed. Mm-hmm. It was a huge movie. It got like near $1 billion.
Yeah.
And it's like, who would have thunk that a 3-hour adult biopic movie would have done so well? You know, it's like a pretty. It's not like a Marvel movie that did it. It's a historical movie, which you love, Ed.
Yeah. And I read the book leading up to it, which was quite the challenge in itself. I just, and it held up. It was just is this movie doomed if I read this book?
No.
I thought it captured, it told the story it wanted to, which revolved around the Trinity test. And I think that was probably the best way to go, especially for Christopher Nolan. Yeah. And yeah, no, it definitely did make an impression. But let's talk about that whole build up. Like, when we went into this year, we had our most anticipated movies of the year.
Yeah.
If you guys remember, I mean, my most anticipated was Barbie. Luis, I want to say yours was The Flash, maybe?
I mean, I was
wrong. I'm not trying to put that on you, but like, we all had our most anticipated, but then from there we also went into our predictions into the box office. And Miguel,
yeah,
you had Barbie as number one, whereas I sold it short, like way short.
That's what surprised me, is because it felt like Barbie was like a big movie for you this year.
It was
like coming into the year, and I mean, I just thought I'm gonna put Barbie number one because that's where I feel like it goes, and you put it so low.
I put it before Oppenheimer, but like, because I thought like if there was any blowback on this film, like all of a sudden it just really turned out to be shit. It would have flopped so hard. But the fact that it was just miraculously so good, just better than anybody could have anticipated. And on top of that, the social media marketing of that movie, is what it was something that I just couldn't have comprehended. So
and it's something that organically happened. Like, it wasn't the studio. I think the studio's built off of that organic.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Viralness of like, dude, they were doing memes.
It became its own thing.
Like Gentle Minions became something, you know. And then the studio's built.
And
off
I
that,
don't
like,
think Oppenheimer would have been as successful as
absolutely
Barbie.
Yeah. Absolutely,
they were a pair.
Absolutely, and that was. I mean, in a certain sense, just that kind of event was fun to witness.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had something like that in a while.
No.
Like, in a good while.
It drove people to theaters. I mean, HBO just got Barbie, like, a couple weeks ago. Oh, and they're like,
Max is
like, you guys.
It's just like, on the at least on the if you're on the website via a computer, if you're moving the mouse around, the cursor would be followed by sprinkles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and
that's a good trick. Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched it twice since it hit Max.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've watched it once. I haven't watched it.
But because I was accused of being an idiot for not watching it that one time.
Oh, I see.
Are you stupid?
Are you stupid? Whatever.
Check out our Instagram for that voicemail Miguel left me that one time.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Barbie huge, Oppenheimer huge. Other performances, other big performances, low performances. Oh, Godzilla. We just saw Godzilla today.
Yeah.
I just want to say that was a movie that was supposed to only be released for like 2 weeks. And then it did so well that they released it for a lot longer.
Yeah. Because it's still going.
It's still going.
I was going to comment, there was like a considerably sized audience with us today.
It's a
small screen, but there's a few people there.
But even earlier today, we looked at those tickets, and there were not a lot of people there. Right. And then we showed up at the movie, and it was like, oh, we're packed.
This movie came out a while ago.
Yeah, and people are still trying to see it.
And it's a foreign language film, too. I mean, it's kind of nice to see that kind of reception that's been kind of not like blown out of proportion, but it's just been constantly going for these last few weeks. And like you and I at least rushed to go see it because we thought it was just that limited engagement. And now they're talking about doing a black and white release too.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's officially happening in Japan, but it might.
They're really milking it now.
The fact that, it's built traction over here, they might do that release too. So,
Marvel.
Yeah.
And DC. I saw a Reddit post and there was like, I don't know, a shit ton of superhero movies came out this year.
Yeah.
Like six, like three per or four per, four, I think four per or something. It was overwhelming. And I feel like this was the year where everybody's just like,
we felt it.
The fatigue.
We don't.
Yeah. And also just like the quality, the fatigue. Everyone's spread thin. DC's in a new direction. Marvel spread thin. It's just like it didn't hit well. The only ones that really rang were like Spider-Man and Guardians.
Yeah.
But even then, I think back on Guardians. I haven't had the urge to rewatch it.
Right.
I haven't thought back on like a lot of things that happened in that movie where I was just, you know, again, just didn't urge me to go back to it.
It's a little bit sad.
For me, it was sad. And I was like, it kind of like, it was so emotional.
Yeah.
I wasn't like rushing to go back just simply because I'm trying to protect myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like one of the better Marvel movies.
Sure.
And it actually had, it started, that was one of the things I talked about, is like I put it lower on my list for the box office this year, but it like ran.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It did. It made, it's up there.
It had legs.
As money. No, I mean, it was, I mean, can you guys, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think, but the year started off with Ant-Man and the Wasp,
Quantumania. Yeah.
Which was a movie that had potential, but then felt just kind of mediocre after it came out.
Yeah, what a start to the multiverse saga.
Yeah.
And, we'll talk more about that later, I'm sure.
Next year they're going to only have Deadpool, and then I think maybe that's it, but they're really like taking time to figure out a game plan. So
readjust. Okay.
Readjust. Yeah.
We definitely need a breather year.
Yeah. Deadpool's the only property coming out next year, right?
Yeah.
We might. Wait, when is Joker Folie à Deux?
I think that comes out this year. The Joker movie, Lady
24.
Yeah, 24 though.
Yeah, no, not in the next 2 days. That movie's coming out.
No. In the year, like later in the year.
We're gonna start getting trailers for that shit soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I'll be there. I'm excited.
The Marvels, which I don't think any of us saw.
I saw it.
We all saw it.
Oh, you saw half of it.
I fell asleep.
Yeah. I think that movie got a lot more. I think people were just exhausted by the time the Marvels came out, from Blue Beetle to The Flash to Shazam.
You guys saw the Blue Beetle too, huh?
I never saw Blue Beetle.
I saw it.
I never saw Blue Beetle.
I saw Blue Beetle. I saw Flash. I saw Guardians.
Did you see Shazam?
No.
I saw Shazam.
Was it good?
It's okay. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
But I haven't seen Blue Beetle, and yeah. But people just don't. And the Marvels, obviously.
Yeah. It's a lot of superhero movies. Yeah. Plus all the TV shows, Aquaman, you know what I mean?
Just came out.
Oh, Aquaman.
Oh, Aquaman. Man.
I won't see Aquaman.
I'm going to go ahead and skip that one. I'll tell you what, Wonder Woman 2 was so bad that I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do a DC sequel right now.
Ever again. Until they get their shit together.
Sure.
Like, I'm optimistic about James Gunn's Superman.
Yeah.
But also, like,
but not.
Is it a James Gunn Superman? Like, what shtick are we going to have to adjust to, kind of thing? Is it going to be like James Gunn universe, like a Zack Snyder universe? Like, is it just chock full of quips? And I don't know.
I think James Gunn is going to deliver like a heartfelt Superman.
Yeah.
Like, that's, he always delivers vulnerability even with his wackiness.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping he kind of does the same with Superman, where he's just like, maybe he won't be as wacky. He'll be that, like,
that'd be nice.
Christopher Reeve, hopeful, emotional,
yeah,
impactful stuff.
I'll wait for a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, the casting seems on point so far.
Yeah.
I'll wait to see how it goes. You got Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor.
You guys, let's talk Nicholas Holt for a second.
Okay.
Nicholas Holt. What a run of DC auditions he's been having, okay? He auditioned for Batman. He almost got Matt Reeves' Batman.
Almost. Crazy.
He auditioned for Superman. And I mean, he was in like the top three for Superman.
Yeah.
And ultimately ended up as Lex Luthor of the James Gunn universe.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
He could be like the Loki equivalent. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, yeah, Loki keeps appearing, like,
that's a good comparison.
That would be nice.
Potentially, I like, yeah. It's nice to see them as kind of like similar ages, even though like Jesse Eisenberg and Henry Cavill were probably similar in age.
They didn't vibe.
They didn't click. Yeah. Whereas, as far as casting goes, I haven't seen much of the guy who's playing Superman. But, like, Nicholas Holt could share
the opposite dynamic. I see. He could be, like, the name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Part of it.
I'm going to be honest. I would have been fine if he was Batman and Matt Reeves is Batman.
I disagree.
I feel like of the three of us, like, yeah, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
But no, I could 100% see him doing that.
I could see him doing it.
I'm fine with him as Lex Luthor, but
what's also been fun, especially in his recent career, is he's been taking on these kind of more interesting side roles. Like, with The Menu, he's this...
Oh, right.
Like, I don't know, a condescending boyfriend who is craving just, like, acknowledgement from the head chef of this restaurant. Like, Mad Max, he played that...
Tweaker.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name was now, but just like an odd little side character to that, and I think he plays that so well. I just recently rewatched The Favorite.
Oh, right.
Where he's the politician, and like all of the men in that movie are these like complete fops, and whilst women are the ones running the show.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to watch him kind of be more of a goofball, you know. So I think like Lex Luthor was a far better choice than him being, or at least more interesting choice than him being the hero, you know what I mean? Like, sure, he could be the brooding Batman or whatever, but I feel like that works more to Robert Pattinson's talents than Nicholas Holt. And maybe that's just kind of typecasting Nicholas Holt in a way, being that kind of odd character, but I think those are the best roles too in themselves. And that's why I'm more excited for him to have played Lex Luthor. I think I would have been more skeptical with as him as hero, Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I buy Bruce Rob Pattinson any day, but I know what you mean. I mean, I guess.
In another world, I could have seen it happen.
Yeah.
I get why he was there.
Sure, sure.
I need to see the trailer for this movie. And I can't wait for them to start filming. Yeah.
I love him in The Great.
And he's quirky in that, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
He's very quirky in The
Great. Oh, and he did that Renfield this year?
Yes.
Talking about, man, yeah, the year of 2023. That was like in March or something.
Oh, shit, that was this year.
Yeah.
Wow. That is true. That was one of the movies I was looking forward to, too. I remember now that we talk about it.
Yeah.
Scandals. You wanted to talk about Scandals.
Oh, man. Yeah, I did.
You're taking lead on this one.
Okay. So, first off, what a year for Scandals. Shout out to, I think I've mentioned this before, but like Luis put me on to the subreddit Pop Culture Chat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he asked it so confidently, like I was like, oh, I'm missing out on something, so I should... I should follow this subreddit, and now I am way too into it.
Okay, good.
But they came out, this is by Rude Lifeguard, shout out. They posted, what was the biggest, craziest, most shocking celebrity scandal of 2023? And it's a slideshow here, and I'll pick a few. And I'll just kind of like see if you guys even paid attention to the scandals.
Okay.
Let's talk about... The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye? Tes
what?
Fire? What's his name? The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
He came out, HBO did the show The Idol this year.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this one. This was kind of like a light one we can get into.
Sure.
Did you watch The Idol?
I watched the first episode of it.
Okay. Ed, Luis, did you watch the show?
I just watched, Sarah watched it, so I would watch some episodes as she was watching.
Okay.
But it was pieces, so no, I mean, I just saw pieces of the episodes.
I tell you what, the internet tore this show apart.
Because
every episode.
Can, I think, right?
Yeah.
Not well.
Not well, but that's where it debuted.
I don't need to know how it's
the controversy.
I don't need to know how it debuted at Can. I need to know how it debuted at Ed's, okay?
I don't remember a whole lot about that first episode, but it was...
It didn't make you want to keep watching?
No.
Yeah.
Obviously not. I just, like,
It was fun following The Weeknd on Twitter while this show aired, because he was very vocal about it. Like, every time someone was like, this show sucks, he's like, I'm actually playing a character. And I was like, okay. Fair enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was a producer. He was very involved in like trying to make it like his
And then
show.
It's also like the co-writer or whatever of Euphoria, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or co-producer.
Yeah.
Which he was already had problematic sets during Euphoria, and they just continued
and I get
on
that
the
vibe.
Show.
I get that vibe from The Idol, too.
He's just
like, is it being provocative just for the sake of being provocative?
Right. Mistreating his cast, keeping them late, making them do things that they don't want to do for
exactly.
His provocative stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was also the time when HBO created fake Twitter accounts so it can combat
reviewers
saying that The Idol was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't just The Weeknd. It was like everyone was turned on for The Idol, like whether you were against it or for it.
Yeah.
It was a charged up.
Yeah.
Can I talk about some relationship dramas?
Yeah.
That got people charged up this year. I'm going to talk about a budding relationship and the end of one. Okay.
Okay.
You guys, let's talk about. Did you pay attention to the Ariana Grande relationship news this year?
No.
No.
Am I the only one?
Yeah, I didn't know she got into her relationship.
Oh, she's been busy. Okay.
This year she's been busy.
Yeah. She okay. So
Ariana Pete Davidson.
If I say that was. So long ago. Oh my god.
Topical.
No, that I appreciate you trying to jump on board. Okay. You're right. Her and Pete Davidson did date for a long time.
They were engaged, right? Like it was a big deal.
Yeah, and I'll tell you about another engagement.
And then like she was like, I need you to guess.
She did what?
No, Ed, go ahead and share your opinion about the I didn't realize
You had a strong thought.
You guys gotta switch the conversation.
What?
I won't be able to keep it straight. Yeah, like I'm back to it.
No, I didn't.
Ariana Grande.
I didn't realize that was gonna set you off. Okay. Do you guys know who Ethan Slater is?
Wait, hold on. Who did Ariana Grande date? I'm still curious.
I'm getting to it. Do you know who Ethan Slater is?
No.
No, okay. He on the Broadway musical SpongeBob, he played SpongeBob. Okay, so earlier this year, they were in the news because Ariana Grande started dating Ethan Slater. Oh, Ethan Slater is the lead of the SpongeBob musical on Broadway.
He's SpongeBob.
They're doing Wicked together.
They are now.
Yeah.
And they've been Wicked.
No,
that's right.
I do know this.
So Ariana Grande...
she's a witch.
And Ethan Slater started dating while Ethan Slater was married to another person. Okay. And he was... I believe she was pregnant or had just had like a newborn child.
Oh no.
Yeah. And he had an affair with Ariana Grande, and now he divorced his wife.
Whoa.
And him and Ariana Grande are now a couple. Yep.
Okay.
And it was kind of in a world where Ariana Grande has like dated or been engaged like she goes with a person and then she leaves a person, right, kind of deal, which is fine. No, I'm not throwing shade, but this man left his whole ass wife and newborn child to go with Ariana Grande.
They were on set together.
And it's one of those things where Ariana Grande has kind of had this like run of like, I date hot guys and everything's like supercharged.
Yeah.
But then like SpongeBob,
and I guess he's playing Oz in this upcoming.
Wait.
Are they still together?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a big deal.
He's like a Jeremy Allen White looking motherfucker too.
Right? That's rude to Jeremy Allen White. I feel like
okay.
That man is at least handsome. And let's talk about
rustic.
Let's talk about a relationship. I said let's a budding relationship and one that ended. Ed, this one is near and dear to your heart. Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas.
What the fuck? Like I ever.
Guys, the scandals of the year.
Yeah.
We're on Team Sophie, right? I assume, right?
Team Sophie all the way.
I don't know what team I'm on.
I could give a fuck about the Jonas Brothers.
I don't know what team I'm on, but it was crazy. I don't know why we like thought of them as our dream couple for a while.
Well, we thought they could pull it through.
It was just more like...
Yeah.
At least to me, like...
Very on brand.
If it had to be like the cuter of the Jonas Brothers, sure, great.
Oh,
if we're gonna rank Jonas Brothers,
go on.
He's definitely the prettiest.
Right? Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
I don't know the Jonas Brothers.
Can you name all three of them?
Fuck no. John Jonas, Jack Jonas, and Jonas Jonas.
Wait, no, hold on. There's Nick Jonas, right?
Yeah.
And then there's Jonah Jonas.
Who's the Sophie Turner one?
Jonah Jonas?
Joe Jonas, right?
Wait, is that his name? Jonah Jonas?
Joe Jonas. Yeah.
Joe Jonas.
Joe.
J O E.
Joe.
It's not Jonah Jonas.
No, it's not Jonah Jonas.
Why would it be? That's just cruel. Jonathan Jonas.
And then the other one, I don't know who that is.
Jim Jonas.
No, me either. Okay. Jim. Slim Jim.
Slim Jim Jonas.
Oh, my God. You guys.
I forgot that happened. But that made me want to think of something else, though.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Yeah. That was the most obnoxious news of the year. Obnoxious. I was over it before it began.
Okay.
Timothy Chalamet and that one Kardashian.
Kylie.
Yeah, whatever. That was like the most disappointing thing of his career.
Was it?
So far, yeah.
Well, at least he bounced back. You know what I mean?
What happened after that?
Are they done?
Well, I just assume.
I hope so.
Maybe I'm wrong. He's still around.
Yeah, he is... He's Willy Wonka right now, but...
A surprise hit of the year.
It was a surprise
hit. I loved it, Wonka.
I had a great time with Wonka. I didn't give my review last episode.
You did. Well, you talked about it a little bit. You said you liked it.
But I wasn't here last episode. I talked about it with you guys.
Remember. There's a whole list. Can I get to the big one of the year?
I thought we talked about the big one.
No, the big scandal of the year.
Was it Jonathan Majors?
It's Jonathan Majors. Yeah. You guys.
Talking about Marvel having to reassess the strategy.
That was crazy.
And the world having to reassess.
Like, we barely got to, it was like the year of Jonathan Majors, and then it became...
Yeah. I saw
the last year
in the thread, I feel like I read that at the beginning of March, he was like, on top of the world. Yeah,
Quantumania, Creed 3 coming up.
Yeah.
Loki season 2.
A big Avengers contract.
Yeah.
And then by the end of March, like, that's when the allegations came out.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow. How fast can you
fall
from grace? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Man, what a year. I mean, the whiplash I felt from his success.
Because, like, he was... at least leading up to Quantumania, for me, like, that was like one of the bigger elements I was looking forward to.
Yeah,
like, stick with it, Luis.
I know, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about Majors. Crazy. No, yeah, he
did any of you either of you watch Creed 3?
Just out of
curiosity.
I love Rocky. I've been rewatching the Rockies, and I watched Creed, but I haven't seen 2 or 3.
Nor I.
So I never made it to watching 3, but I think I'm going to soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're asking me to make it. You're yawning too.
No, you're just causing.
We've had such a day.
We have it's been great.
You guys, what a year! I can't wait to talk about our top 10 for the year.
Me too. Mine's been shifting up and down. Ed's been shifting. You've watched 12 movies.
Yeah. 10. I have time to.
He's watched more watch than 12 more. Movies, everyone. I can't count.
I guess that's. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I just want to say, I just want to call it out one more time. We're all together right now.
Yeah.
Look at all three of us.
Rare occurrence.
That's nice.
We're all in the same room.
And if you join us on YouTube, you'll see that we are joined by my dog, Bullet.
Bullet's been perfectly placed on the screen.
Yeah, she's annoying.
Aesthetically Keeley's.
Stop it.
Jesus Christ.
Bullet. Stop it.
Aw.
Bullet's a great little dog. A corgi, if you're not watching.
You get to see a butt a couple of times.
Yeah, good job, Bullet.
Throughout this video.
Next week, I think we're going to take a break. We're all traveling.
Back home.
So we're going to take a break too, okay? Hang out with your family, hang out with your friends. We'll be back after that, and then we'll do our top 10 of the year.
Yeah.
Movies.
Of 2023.
I'm going to call them my favorites of 2023. All right, guys, anything else you want to talk about?
No, we did it.
All right.
We did it, and we did it together.
All right, everybody. Happy New Year's. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays. We'll see you next year. Until then, remember, you are Knuff, cousin.
Bye.
Bye.